this is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 266. It's Thursday, March 31st. I'm your host, reviews editor Dan Stapleton, slightly under the weather. And with me today, our senior editor, Evan Lottie.
Sorry to hear you're feeling ill, Dan.
Our managing editor, Chris Comiskey.
I'm not sorry to hear you're feeling ill, Dan.
Our intern, Anthony Valva.
I have no comment on Dan's illness.
And our extra special guest and friend of the show, Brian Brushwood, who is host of Scam School on Revision 3 and the NSFW show on the Twit Network, among other things.
I am very sorry that I don't have that sweet shirt that you're rocking.
Yeah, Dan's wearing a Fallout 3 t-shirt, and it's like making me jealous, at least.
I just walked into the room, and I just see 101 on his back, and I was just like, ah, Dan's cooler than me again.
If he was a real man, he would wear the whole jumpsuit, though.
That's right.
That would have been ballsy.
I'm not going to comment.
Have you seen those cosplayers that build their own?
Yeah, their own Pit Boys.
Yeah.
I bet you could totally rock and put an iPhone in there and have like an actual app and everything.
Probably.
I got the one from the collector's edition or the survival edition.
You can't wear that one, right? It's like smaller.
Well, you can. It's just very tight, and you know I'm not a small person, so like a child could wear it pretty easily.
Or
my wrist, little. Yeah.
Although like the packaging specifically says do not wear this because. Because, like, apparently in order to have it be, you know, approved for sale as a wearable thing, it has to go through all kinds of extra testing, and Bethesda didn't want to go through that expense.
So, you know what's funny is I ran into the same thing. Somebody gave me, he worked on the World at War Call of Duty, and he gave me the premium package, and it had in there a flask. I'm like, a freaking flask, and it says, you know, not for use. So I was like, whatevs, this is an awesome flask.
Yeah.
And then I tried to open it, they'd welded it shut to make sure that
point?
I couldn't actually use the flask.
Wow.
I guess maybe that's to not promote drinking to 18-year-olds.
I'm sure. I'm not saying it's not logical. I'm just saying it sucks when you want an awesome World of War flask.
Well, I didn't say it was logical. I mean, why would they give out a flask, which in itself inherently promotes alcohol use?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was like a mini canteen, but meanwhile, all my brain saw was flask.
Yeah.
Well, what is a flask other than a mini canteen?
A flask by any other name.
Right.
Would drink his sweets.
So, Evan filled a flask with urine, but when he
wow, went there right off the top.
Yeah,
all right.
This is how I
drink. You can drink it; it's sterile.
Yes, when he peed himself at the news of a new game from Bohemia Interactive, his favoriteest developer ever.
Yeah,
that they're the Arma 2 guys. They're making a helicopter sim.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm not going to derail the podcast completely, but it's cool news, and we announced it. We have the only interview on our site. Go read it. I mean, what's cool about this is they're using like a lot of the same assets they use in Arma. So it's called Take On Helicopters, and it's coming out in Q4.
Wait, it's called Take On Helicopters.
Yeah, there's no hyphen. It's a little awkward. So
it seems like the box art is like a guy raising a fist at a helicopter.
Yeah, it's like Take On Helicopters.
Basically.
Like, so why not Take Off Helicopters? Like the helicopter's taking off.
Talk about derailing.
The Canadians don't like that one. They're like Take Off Helicopters.
Well, let's face it. The Bohemia's strong suit has never been naming their games. What the hell is Arma?
It's armed assault. If
right.
Anybody else?
That's not even a real acronym.
It's a weird abbreviation. Sure. So just a quick bullet points. Again, you can see this on the website. There's co-op, there's multiplayer. We don't know how many players, but there's also mission creation. That's kind of a core component of Arma, right? Because,
yeah.
I mean, every time we talk about it, we're playing a mission that somebody else made in Arma. It's never really their content. They just kind of build the tools and the engine and the systems, which are pretty high quality. So that's what I'm looking forward to, playing co-op with other people, running like rescue missions and stuff, presumably.
There's no single player in Arma?
There's single player. Yeah, there's a campaign.
Okay.
They've done expansions that have separate campaigns, and there will be a campaign in Take On. You know, less confident in their storytelling abilities, but
yeah,
that's cool. So it's good news.
So just to be clear, is it a combat helicopter simulator or just a helicopter simulator? Am I going to be giving tours of Hawaii?
I think it's going to be a lot of different scenarios. In the campaign, you're going to play as somebody that runs an aviation business, and they're sort of taking on all these different contracts to save their business. So that's probably going to include giving tours or like doing rescue stuff. And I asked them directly, like, can I shoot stuff? Am I going to shoot stuff in this game? And then they kind of said, well, we're making it in the same engine. It'd be kind of weird if there wasn't some kind of combat that you come into contact with.
Yeah.
And there's damage modeling, of course, so I think you will probably come under fire, but maybe not return fire.
Oh.
That could still be fun, though. I mean, especially if you spend the first act wrapping your mind around, you know, like you got a banner that you're going in front of the beach, and then you got to go rescue someone, and then it gets way interesting where it's like, we need you to go spray poison on this coca field, and then they're fighting it. I don't know. That could be all right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Yeah, totally. I'm with you on that. I think the main takeaway here is, like, this isn't going to be a hardcore sim in, like, the true sense of the word. This isn't going to be a flipping switches in every, you know, sort of way flight sim, from what it seems. It's going to be you're going to be able to play with mouse and keyboard. But it's still going to have that high fidelity modeling where, like, there's electronics that are modeled, you know, and things like that, and all the flight model is accurate. So,
and since it is based on the Arma 2 engine, then it's only a matter of time before you're in combat with Santa Claus.
Bingo. Right. Yeah.
I thought we could finally solve the debate. Like, we could put an A-10 against, like, an AH-60, maybe. You know, we were talking about that, like, forever, for months.
We were talking about the KA-50, right?
Was it the KA-50?
Yeah, 52? Maybe.
If it would be possible to use this game to solve that debate, that would be excellent.
Well, both of those craft are in Arma 2.
Ooh.
I can boot it up when we get back, Chris. I'm just saying.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway, a time for a fight for another time.
Yeah.
For like 2 months ago.
Way to be a downer, Dan.
So another thing that came out this week was CCP, the makers of EVE Online, have put out a teaser trailer for their console game, which, and, you know, ordinarily we wouldn't necessarily cover that, except that this console game called Dust 514 ties into EVE Online in such a way that it's a shooter, ground-based shooter. So based on the trailer, the PC players playing EVE Online can hire console players to fight ground battles
territory.
What the hell?
That is awesome.
Cross-platform asymmetrical gameplay.
Right. So there are two distinct games, but they're linked in that.
Dan, they are our slaves.
It's like tower defense where, like, you know, you get to hire little disposable minions.
They're mercenaries, really. Right, paid, so.
Exactly. So, and the way that the trailer goes, and I guess if you don't want to hear the surprise ending, cover your ears now. Space players hire the ground players to attack this thing for them, and then the battle isn't going quite as well as they planned. So, the players on the ground are calling for you know, air support, like bombardment, which the space players can also do, apparently.
Yeah.
No way.
But the guy's like, oh, there's been a change of plans, and then nukes them from orbit.
Which is true to EVE, right? I mean, it's full of betrayal. That's something we associate with the game, so.
Right.
This is actually way cooler than a trend that I predicted a long time, because I always wondered why there isn't a World of Warcraft app that lets you do tiny things while you're sitting on the subway on your iPhone that would build you, you know, little bits of XP and still be you working in the world, or, you know, maybe in the Old Republic, you're building your lightsaber, you know, tinkering in the sap that it's linked. But the idea of actually hiring other people to fight battles is way more interesting, especially because they're console.
Yeah, there is the World of Warcraft auction house app. So they can use on the iPhone.
But that's all just buying and selling, right? You're not earning XP.
No, you're earning money, though.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess that works.
So this is kind of like a macro and micro separation, roughly.
That's how I understand it, yeah.
Why would you want to be a console player in this situation, though, when you could just totally get screwed with it?
Well, there's no shooter gameplay available to the PC, presumably.
Yeah, it's two different games.
Yeah.
So it's basically two different games, essentially, just kind of sort of linked.
Yeah, two different games, but there is a link between them in that the players can interact across games.
And then we can nuke console people from orbit, presumably. Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, makes sense because, I mean, space naval combat is nothing like ground combat. Yeah. So it requires two different games, but just the results of one transfer to the other.
Did any of you guys play EVE Online?
Not really, no.
What was the link that Logan tweeted out earlier where people were playing chess and then beating the crap out of each other?
Oh, yeah, that was them.
That was amazing. that was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah. Indeed. So these guys are, it's CCP, they're based in Iceland, and they're kind of maniacs, which is great.
Which goes to the territory, right? They're in Iceland.
It takes a crazy bunch of guys to build the sort of game where players basically have total control. And they had this thing called FanFest, which is like, you know, it's like BlizzCon for them, basically. It's their own group, you know, festival for the fans, of course. And one of their events that they wanted to do, and they had a trailer that came out a couple weeks ago for this, two of their art guys, or they're like 3D art guys, they wanted to have a chess boxing match.
That's so awesome.
Like, one of them was older, so he's better at chess, and he's like actually like ranked in Europe or something. And the other guy was kind of a boxer. So each of them had that strength, and they just set them against each other. And, I mean, they were fighting. They weren't...
It was legit, man. It was like 3 minutes of beating each other's ass, and then 3 minutes of sitting down and moving pawns.
And it was great. He was talking about, because, like, the guy that's younger and not as good as chess, like, he was like, okay, my strategy that I've trained for specifically is to draw out the chess as long as possible. So he's, like, applying specific tactics, you know. Really cool. really, and I mean, I think only CCP could get away with this or do this.
Well, chess boxing is a thing. That's
oh yeah,
it's not something they invented.
It's been in Russia for a while.
Yeah,
I guess.
What?
I'm gonna move to Russia.
I've actually done it one time.
No way.
Back in Texas before I came here, me and my friend, we read the article online, like, we so gotta do this. So we set it up for
you to learn how to play chess.
Yeah. It's like, all right, you're gonna box for 3 minutes and then we're gonna do chess for 3 minutes. Like, all right, that sounds good. And I never got to the chess part because he just knocked me out.
Dude. So,
did you have any audience? Was just like, let's go in the garage.
It was kind of like backyard wrestling where you have like one kid from the neighborhood. Is like, what's going on?
Was it bare knuckle or did you have like gloves on?
We had my friend, he did martial arts. So he had like these things that like kind of covered your
punch mitts are not boxing gloves, dude.
Yeah.
You might as well just punch someone.
Yeah. I kind of figured that out.
Wow.
Because I was going to say, like, I'm pretty into martial arts and boxing and stuff. And hitting someone for a minute straight is hard work.
Yeah.
Like, after a minute of punching, you're usually wore out. Like, 3 minutes is brutal. Yeah. I would be just spent. Like, oh, my God, pawn. Ah, and just fall over. Yeah.
Well, anyway. also out this week was a little piece of in-game footage from Hawken, which is the
oh, my goodness.
It's a mech-based first-person shooter. Which is developed by a very small team of 9 guys I guess at least most of them came from the former Project Offset team, which tragically was bought up by Intel and then dissolved. But anyway, so their new project is a mech shooter. It's really been blowing a lot of minds. If you go to our site, you can see see why with the gameplay footage. It's really impressive. Evan, what's your take on it?
So kind of what I wanted to do, I'm trying to pull it up here on my phone. I don't think Brian hasn't watched this yet.
No, I haven't.
I wanted to pull this up for him and like get his reactions live if we can do that.
Oh, wow. Well,
we were saying this before we started. One of the problems of joining the PC Gamer panel is I get all my PC news from you guys. So when you bring up something, I'm like, I don't know what that is.
But, I mean, did you play MechWarrior back in the day?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, back in the 90s.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember there was this place. They converted a mall into this amusement land, and they had the big simulators that you would get into, and they'd have leagues and all that stuff. But MechWarrior 2 was pretty sweet.
Absolutely. All right. I'm a little slow here. Sorry. We're going to have to edit this.
I'm just laughing. Dude, you really went and boxed some dude. Right?
Like, my imagination, he's like, hey, let's play chess boxing. Yeah. He's like, that sounds great.
Dude, don't you want to do that?
Opens the garage and there's just a chessboard. And as he walks towards the chessboard, he just gets clocked in the back of the head.
Wouldn't you want to do the chess first? At least maybe, like, you know, get...
Well, my thinking was like, all right, we set up, was like, all right, dude, just not in the face. Let's just do, like, body punching.
Body shots are worse.
It was funny because he was like, dude, just body shots. It's okay. He's like, all right, not in the face, dude. And it was just like...
Yeah.
It's a scene from Fight Club. Why'd you hit me in the ear?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, I remember back in the first years of college, I would go to my friend's house, and they weren't, we saw Fight Club, and we're
just
like,
every guy's probably done this.
Yeah, and we're like, dude, let's do a Fight Club. So we go in the backyard, and we're like, we gotta set up like some sort of a ring, so the guy like just doesn't run around. He's like, alright, Tyson, you stand here, Aaron, you stand here, you're the posts. Don't go past them. Like, alright. I'm too drunk.
All right. So this is, okay, first of all, I'm about to watch gameplay footage from, this is what, it's some kind of spiritual successor to the MechWarrior franchise?
Not exactly.
It's entirely original. It's called Hawken. It's a 9-man independent team who's made this in 9 months. And this is their first sort of first-person gameplay footage.
Okay.
So you're watching this on the phone, but I think it's still going to wow you.
Okay. Here we go. I'm watching on the phone. And I guess I'm in a mech right here. And it's converting it, just set up a turret. Is this like a tower defense-y kind of thing?
I think they have those elements, like almost like TF2, where you can drop down turrets and buy stuff.
First of all, the world looks amazing. It really looks rich and detailed, and it's super smooth. And you definitely feel freaking powerful watching this. This is awesome. So is this multiplayer?
Yeah, it's going to be a multiplayer shooter. I mean, this is live, not live, but you know, footage that they captured from a multiplayer networked match. And these guys are out-graphicsing everybody.
Yes.
I mean, aside from, say, like, Rage and Crysis, like, I can't think of another first-party game I've seen this year upcoming that looks this... I mean, just the lighting technology is outstanding. The levels look very spacious. But again, like, it's amazing. Somebody finally figured out, you know, based on this footage, you know, again, we haven't played it, but that, hey, you can mechs don't have to be slow walking towering tanks.
Have they said anything about the different classes?
They haven't. I mean, I'm guessing there's some customizability where you can swap out, you know, your left. It seems like your left hand is like a rocket launcher in some situation. They've shown sniping weapons or grenade launchers. So I don't know if it'll be class-based or customization-based, but it's just outstanding that, you know, throughout all this footage, it's chasing, right? You're being chased or you're chasing somebody else around corners, just like you would in Call of Duty, but there's just that Y-axis of, like, I'm jetpacking around, and it's so fluid and so mobile. I can't understand how anyone wouldn't want to play this game.
This reminds me a little bit of Tribes in the aesthetic.
Yeah, that's true.
But on a much more epic, grand scale. I mean, everything is so huge and so rich and detailed, and it seems, I don't know, fast, not as fast as Tribes, but Tribes was too fast. It was just silly. You're like, and I'm here and I'm dead.
It's that same sort of sense of, like, you know, just escaping by ducking down behind stuff and, you know, losing line of sight as you would in Tribes, I think. But I love the idea of attacking a large target in a shooter. I mean, other than MechWarrior and other games like that, like, I think big targets are much better able to convey damage. They can lose arms. They can sort of shudder.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just see a splotch of blood, you're like, well, yeah, I hit that guy, but is he down like 20% life? Is he... You know, if a mechanical thing is smoking, you know it's about to explode, right?
Usually. It's a good indicator. I mean, you can do all that in this, right? So you can take off body parts and you can...
I'm not sure. They haven't really showed that explicitly, but it seems like, at least in the first-person perspective, there's, like, overheating, for example.
Okay.
Where you have to, like, you lose the ability to fire your weapons temporarily if you overheat, so...
So when Guillermo del Toro was working on Hellboy, he had an internal document. I remember Wired Magazine put it out. Where they were talking about how all of the fighting, except for one character who was allowed to be kung fu and fast, all of the fighting should be slow and the punches should mean something. It should be like, pow, and you're like, oh, sure. I felt that. And then pow, oh, I felt that too. That's what this feels like to me. It feels like a Team Fortress 2 where everyone is big and everything hurts every time it hits.
Yeah, I know what you mean, where it's not just like, you know, a random spread of bullets, you know, that happen to do X amount of damage. It's like, this is a considered shot that I'm making at you, and, you know, it's going to hit or it's going to miss, and that's going to influence what happens next.
Yeah. You know, totally honestly, like, after seeing this video, I'm a little bit less excited about it.
Really?
Just because it looks like, you know, if I mentally replace those mechs with people, it doesn't look any, like, it's like, people could be doing that. You know, it's So you know, if they had a little booster jetpack or something like that, these mechs are moving just like people would.
But the difference in those mechanics is, I mean, it's hard to justify, and this is the core mechanic of MechWarrior, resource management, where you have coolant and you have weapon reloading. It's hard to justify that with a person.
Right, but I'm just saying that for, you know, if I'm jumping around in this giant mech with this heavy armor and these heavy weapons, there has to be some trade-off for it for me to kind of really believe it. Otherwise, it's just swapping out the character models.
Well, I'll tell you this. There is something to be said for scale. And even if, let's say, the dynamics were exactly the same, the movements were the same, and everything, let's say you're absolutely right, and it really could just have been replaced with people, it's still, to me, aesthetically more fun to believe I'm this giant mech. That's, I mean, for example, Shogo, Mobile Armor Division, was not an exceptional shooter, but man, was it fun to be knocking buildings around and kicking ass in the middle of the city.
I totally agree. It looks gorgeous. And they nailed the look and feel of the mechs. No dispute there.
Oh, my God! Get out of town!
Save us. No.
Look. Retreat. Fall back. Fall back. Fall back on Jax G and Z.
So.
Fall back.
A three-man tactical Nerf team. I think Lucas, like...
I just lost my elbow.
Lucas just asked us to unlock that door so he could be shot.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is I'm trying to talk and stay on point, but meanwhile, I see some kind of drama. I'm like, oh, it's clear something important is happening there, and they're trying to work something out. And then all of a sudden, the SWAT team busts in and starts attacking.
Wow, we got raided.
That shot, like, one Nerf dart per 50 seconds, I think. Not exactly rapid fire.
They didn't take the time to check and make sure the Nerf Vulcan was fully loaded.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Always important, kids. Like a girl. Make sure the Nerf Falcon is always loaded.
So as we're bleeding out here, what were we saying about Hawken?
Well, I think that's a fairly good place to leave it at Hawken. It looks fantastic.
That was actually good timing. Came in with like this big mechanical gun, right, when we were talking about.
However, the mechanical gun failed, so perhaps it is a bad omen.
Yeah, maybe Dan's right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Should have just come over and punched us.
So another little announcement today was that Magic of Vietnam will be out April 12th and cost $5. Brian, have you heard about Magic of Vietnam?
You mentioned this in the pre-notes. I was like, the hell is Magic of Vietnam?
You know what Magic is, right?
Magic the Gathering?
Magicka.
Oh, Magicka. No. Tell me.
No, it's a little wizard game where it's kind of free-form spellcasting where you combine elements. It's you know, top-down co-op kind of thing. So you've got elements like, you know, fire, air, water, and you know, arcane Earth. Magic and so you like combine those in your queue and then push, you know, I want to cast that on an enemy, or I want to cast it on myself or the environment, and you can cast like a huge number of spells, and it's, you know, very comedic. So they're making this expansion called Magic of Vietnam, which going from a fantasy setting with the wizards, they've now got the wizards running around in Vietnam.
Wow. Now is that in period, like during the Vietnam War, or just nowadays?
During the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's, you know, totally off the wall, goofy.
My brain is short circuiting with all the inappropriate jokes and inappropriate visuals.
So it's like napalm versus fireballs, and
yes.
I mean, interesting concept. Like, what? Who's the antagonist? Just like the VC?
Yeah.
You're fighting like for the Americans?
That's my understanding.
It's a goofy game, and they put out their trailer with that like "Bird is the Word" song. I mean, it's not serious. It's ridiculous.
No, it sounds hilarious.
Magicka in itself is kind of a parody of the.
Wait a minute. So they're doing it in Vietnam, but they're still going to keep the same tone, the silly.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Why not?
it's kind of a spoof on Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam.
It's a Swedish developer, so they're less, you know.
They don't care.
Have less invested there.
They're more Swedish.
They weren't even in Vietnam. Maybe they had one guy there. No, they don't care.
There's also a new teaser trailer out for Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, which is going to be out on PC as well.
What is that?
It is a co-op zombie shooter. Which,
like, they're in this standard third-person Resident Evil fashion?
It's apparently some kind of revamp of it. There's not too much info out there yet. And, you know, that, and Chris is making a face.
Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, when I saw this, like, what would Capcom have to do to make you guys excited about another zombie shooter after Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 and Dead Rising and Killing Floor?
And was Dead Rising the one where you put on all different uniforms and you can just basically go and do ridiculous things?
I wouldn't call them uniforms, but
Dead Rising was the zany Capcom third person.
Right.
I'm in a mall.
Where you can have like a chainsaw attached, like a boat oar attached to it.
Yeah, it's an action game.
Yeah. What could they do to interest me?
Well,
wow.
I guess on that question, is anyone excited about Dead Island? I mean, the trailer, of course, was phenomenal, but the gameplay mechanic of saying no guns, I was like, all right, I'll check.
There's some
out.
Guns, but not.
They're very rare, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Dead Island is another zombie co-op shooter.
But it sounds, I mean, it's got a unique take. It's like, it's got a mission statement that's different from anything else I've heard of before, so I'm at least interested.
And it's not urban.
But after Left 4 Dead, it's like, I mean, it's very hard. Like, I don't know. You gotta have something way, way different. You can't just be another Left 4 Dead.
So it's third person though, right? It's not first person?
I'm not entirely sure about that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I'd like them to avoid is, I mean, then this is something Dead Island is borrowing, it seems like. They have these sort of specialized, special infected zombies, which are bosses. And I played that before. I don't need that in a third game now, where it's like, okay, there's a big one that explodes. There's a one that can, like, lasso me or whatever. Like, that's just such a familiar mechanic that I've kind of put 150 hours into already. So
are zombie games then effectively basically done until like the next?
No, there's not. There's different stuff. I mean, there's stuff that hasn't been touched on yet at all in a first person context, like boarding up, like, you know, sieging and things like that.
Well, Killing Floor did that,
and Call of Duty's zombie mode.
It's so simple in those games.
You remember
it's
zombie?
Like, you hold a button and boards like magically levitate in front of you and stick against a wall.
So like Minecraft zombie, you hold out about that.
That's a totally different game.
Do you remember Zombie Master, that mod?
No.
I thought you played with us when we were. It's like one person is a zombie master, and you control like an RTS, right? So it's like you see the top-down game board, and the rest of the people are first person, And as a zombie master, you place different zombies around the whole map, and they have to complete objectives, and your whole idea is to try and stop them. So it's almost like you're in supreme commander mode putting down zombies, and the rest of the guys are, you know, playing in real time in first person mode. Something like that would interest me.
Yeah, sure.
Or even maybe, like, if they took away, like, just the fast zombies and made, like, just zombies rare and that you had to be, like, really smart to kill them and there's a lot of teamwork involved. Okay. But that's about it for me.
So, even more zombies. With Grim Dawn, which is the, that's the former Iron Lore guys, the guys that made Titan Quest.
Yeah.
Iron Lore shut down. They went off and created Krait Entertainment. Krait Entertainment is working on this independently developed action RPG in the similar vein of Titan Quest, and they put out some pre-alpha combat footage. Did you guys get a chance to look at that by any chance?
Yeah, it looks good. The animations look good. There's some ragdoll in there, which we love about Titan Quest.
And just to be, you know, to set out the setting more, it is still a fantasy set action RPG where you are smashing zombies with clubs and such.
There are so many dungeon crawlers. Which, like, how are we going to play all these games?
Yeah,
there's one coming out in New Zealand. There's Torchlight 2. There's
what's the one coming out of New Zealand?
I always forget the name.
But
I don't know.
Anyway, this one, like, I don't know. I was watching the video. I kind of think they may have shown their cards too soon there, because you know, it looks okay, but they haven't shown me anything that really makes me, oh, I need to play this one instead of all the other ones. You know, it is kind of a crowded field, and you know, I want something, some kind of hook in there. And right now it's just, let's hit a bunch of zombies and cast some abilities and things like that, which is good, but, you know, where's the hook?
It doesn't sound like there's much of one. It's a pretty dull hook.
I want a dull, rusty hook that I can hit the zombies with.
I want some good bait in that hook, too. It's like, seriously, what, I don't know. Like, zombies, I think, are definitely getting to the point where let's maybe do something different.
The twist is, once you defeat the zombies, you discover they're Draculas.
Yeah, it's about the vampires.
Really mummies.
Dracula mummies.
Yeah.
We finished with Nazis, finished with zombies, and, you know, zombie Nazis to some extent. And so now we need something else.
Cowboys are making a comeback.
That they are. They
are.
Cowboy mummies?
Yeah.
Cowboy Frankenstein?
Cowboys. Cowboy flying helicopters. Versus zombies.
Drug dealers.
Yeah. Zombie drug dealers.
So then we've also got Rockstar putting out a couple of images from Max Payne 3, which they put out a couple of images from Max Payne 3, like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, this is basically like, yep, it's still happening.
It's
yeah.
Max. He's in pain.
Yeah, and
he's 3.
And, you know, I know I'm starting to feel like a bit of a downer myself, but like, why did they put these out? Because, you've now confirmed that there is a man in this game and he has a gun.
And he's haggard.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I still don't know why I want to play this.
Yeah, it's Max Payne. I mean, I guess Max Payne has enough power for me because I loved the first two games.
Yeah, the first two games are great.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think there's enough there that I'd be interested just by default. I don't know if enough people are like me, though, to have that sort of...
But are you more interested having seen these vague images?
No.
Yeah, it is a man standing there with a gun.
He looks old.
Yeah, yeah. Old man.
Yeah, great. Okay, Max is old. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think Evan's right, though. It's just, hey, it exists, you know. Don't forget.
It's not canceled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Although, speaking of, there was some unfortunate news today coming out of Sony. We hope you weren't looking forward to The Agency. because that was their spy MMO. Contemporary setting, spy MMO, not happening. The whole team was canned today. And Brian, I guess you had a personal connection to that.
Well, yeah, my brother who worked on the Duke Nukem project, he was part of the team that got canned over at Duke Nukem. And so the next job he went to was SOE in Seattle. And in fact, last night, you know, we were talking, and he was like, "Well, there's rumors going around about maybe, you know, studio closing. We'll see tomorrow." And you know, they're like, "Ah, but there's a bunch of different studios. You don't know." And then today, it's all, you know, three studios: Tucson, Denver, and Seattle, all totally closed. Which weirdly, Jake was not a fan of Seattle, so he's wanting to come back to Texas. So if you want you want somebody who works on AAA titles, hit me up. I'll give you Jay's address. But, yeah, man, that's insane. And I don't know, I mean, were any of you guys, like, super excited about The Agency?
It had been so long since they showed anything interesting on it that any initial excitement I had long since faded.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see where the, you know, in the chess game of game developers, where everyone shakes out, you know, because everyone has their own agenda of what they want to do at this point. And there's, it's about to be a an opportunity for everyone to hire if they want. But yeah, that was a bit of a shocker out of nowhere.
Yeah, I have to wonder what it says about DCU Online's PS3 side, because I guess it's been doing, you know, out of the gate they said, you know, the sales were 50-50 PS3 and PC, and apparently it did well for them. But if like console players are not resubscribing at the rates they expected, that could have prompted them to put the brakes on another cross-platform MMO project.
So, and I guess the agency was supposed to be that?
Yeah, it was going to be a cross-platform PC,
yeah.
PC, PS3 project.
Was DC, I know DCUO was the first cross-platform, but has there ever been a successful MMO in a console setting?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Fantasy Star?
On Dreamcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. I mean, that was on 56K. I have no idea.
Was Final Fantasy XI on console?
It was on PS2.
Yep.
You had to buy a special adapter. So, I mean, that was kind of janky. But, I mean, DCUO, they said it was their fastest-selling game ever. For SOE, so I can't imagine they're struggling.
But selling fast and retaining those subscribers are two different things.
They've put out, I mean, I don't know. I guess you're right. We don't have a way of knowing other than it sold very well at first. Right.
Well, it could also be the kind of thing where it's like, let's say it does have the potential to be successful, but then they realize like, okay, we have a success here. We don't know if the agency is going to be a success. Why don't we focus more on DCUO with increased content and expansion?
Entirely possible. And it's completely speculation that anything is wrong with DCUO.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. We have nothing to back that up. Just, I wonder if. So yeah, just to make that clear. So it's time for a round of truthiness or falsity.
Yay!
Yay!
So
it's
just a series of true or false questions, each contestant.
All designed to terrify the mind and body.
And make us fight each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to weigh in. I don't think we're super pressed for time today, so we're not going to limit it to 10 words.
It's up to you, man.
All right. So, number one. Red Dead Redemption will never come out on the PC. Evan.
Wow. Man. Oh, God. You know I want it to. Everybody wants it to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say true. There's been no indication. Like, I'm saying as a professional dude that talks to Rockstar occasionally when they decide to talk to us, we've heard nothing about it. We have zero indication that's coming out on PC.
We've seen that with a lot of games where they promise, oh yes, and this will be out with PC shortly, mm-hmm. and then a year later, nothing.
Right. Well, they never made that promise in this case. But yeah, Anthony, what about you?
True, I don't ever see it coming. I mean, I played on the Xbox, and it was one of the greatest open world games I played. But just like they say, it's just sure it'll come out, maybe, possibly, maybe no. Okay, guess not.
Chris,
yeah, I'm gonna go false. This just it made a ton of money. On the console. I mean, it was on PS3 and Xbox, I believe, mm-hmm. right? People loved it. I think Rockstar is just infamous for doing this, the release games a year after they come out on the PC. Why would you limit your source of income when really just porting it would take...
Because they're busy.
Yeah.
L.A. Noire.
Well, that's not even being developed internally at Rockstar. They're publishing that. It's gonna...
Then what is that Rockstar doing?
Grand Theft Auto, the next Grand Theft
and
Auto.
And Max Payne, right? Or is that overseas?
Max Payne, I guess they are doing... I'm not sure about that. That was being done by an external team. And I'm not sure about Max Payne 3.
Anyway.
I'm going with a cautiously optimistic false.
Right. Brian?
I'll say true, partly because with every month, it's an older and older title, and then there's less and less of a benefit. If they came out simultaneous, then you're looking at, millions more dollars on the PC. Because I think the last... Didn't San Andreas come out pretty much the same time, PC and console at the same time?
I believe so.
And within 2 or 3 months, I think.
Yeah, but close enough to where the excitement and everyone was talking about it, and mm-hmm. you could jump on and do it. But now, I mean, it's over a year old now, isn't it?
But Vice City took... it was Vice City. It took a while, like a year or something, didn't it? I mean, I know it's going back away.
So did GTA 4.
So did Bully, didn't it?
Bully took a long time too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's why I'm gonna also go with false. I'm gonna say that I still think it will. I think Rockstar will one day just say, hey, oh yeah, we're putting this out on PC. We finally got around to it. And they are one of those studios that is so has become so successful that they don't feel the need to tell anyone what they're doing or promote what they're doing until they feel like it. They may well just, be having that on, have that on the back burner. We'll work on it when we've got some time.
Yeah.
But like you said, Chris, they invested a lot of money in it to make it. There is more money to be made
for a relatively small investment of porting it.
Yeah.
And even though it is, you know, a year plus old, or it has been out that long, it still looks good. So, and, you know, people aren't going to say, oh, this looks old, I'm not going to buy it.
I still want to play it. I have not played it for the consoles yet.
Yeah. Neither have I. Do you think it's a function where they're watching the console sales and it's only after it dips a certain level that they can throw it over to PC and who cares if half of it's pirated? It's just more free money for us?
Yeah,
possibly.
You know what might possibly happen is because they release that zombie downloadable content. If they do like another downloadable content, they might release it for the PC then with the
package.
Yeah, with the package.
Possible.
Okay, next one. A great single-player game is best played in a few binge sessions as opposed to a short session spread out over time. Evan?
I'm going to say yes. That's how I played Bioshock, and I really kind of treasure that moment. Like, I think some of us, I have an instinct sometimes, I think replaying Crysis, now I'm doing this, Crysis 2, you want to, like, ration that gameplay, where you're like, oh man, this is so good, I'm going to, like, string it out as long as possible, but every time I try and do that, I find, like, I either don't finish it or it takes too long. And you just want to sprint through it, enjoy it, like maximize that experience, make it concentrated. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way with Evan. I mean, when StarCraft came out, I played for 15 hours straight, and I don't regret it at all. Because, I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like watching a movie where it's like, oh, this movie is so good, I'm going to stop halfway through and then just start it up tomorrow type of thing.
Well, I mean, it's like a TV show that way, right?
And you can do episodic content.
Right. Do you really enjoy watching Mad Men, though, like, and having to wait for the next Mad Men to come along?
Oh, I don't like having to wait, you know, I don't like having to wait a week or something like that.
But, well, so. I do, damn it, it's a false. I actually do enjoy playing my games through a long, long period of time. It'll take me months and months to finish single-player games. I like it that way. It's like, I don't know. It's like I'm extending a really fun experience over time, so I'm okay with that. I actually prefer that to binging, because then I feel like I just play it once and forget about it. I like to keep going.
I'm
going to
say that's true, and more importantly, that if it's a really good game, you don't have a choice. How many times have you scrapped plans because you're like, well, I just got to play a little bit more?
That's why you shouldn't do it, dude.
No, dude, it's so epic. Like, I last time I had that happen was with Mass Effect 2, and it was awesome. For 2.5 days, I got nothing done, and it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say false because, and this is just, you know, as a result of you know, my job where I have to frequently play games, you know, straight through with, you know, and in marathon sessions. It's kind of nice to be able to take my time with them sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Air five.
And the third and final round is linear, as in linear level design, is a dirty word.
Wow. I'm going to say true. Today, it is a dirty word, like, as considered by the community. I don't think it should be one.
Well,
is that a fair answer?
I don't care what the community thought. Okay. I'm asking for your opinion.
False. It shouldn't be. I mean, Crysis 2 is kind of the best current example, I think, where, yes, okay, you're moving from a jungle to a city. It's going to be a little bit more linear. There are lines. There's a grid. There are streets.
Yeah.
Just naturally. But the connotation of that word is just developed in this, like, really, you know, oh, it's more linear, so therefore it is more like a console, so therefore you're in a tunnel for 100% of the game. Like, no, Crysis 2 is still an immense amount of fun. Just because you happen to be moving in a line in some situations more frequently, you're in elevators, you're in parking garages, whatever, that doesn't make it a less fun experience.
Half-Life 2 is a linear game.
Anthony?
Yeah.
Yeah, linear is not a dirty word at all. Because, I mean, if it's done right, obviously, I feel that is the best storytelling experience, because the developers have the story planned out in their heads and like, okay, we want you to witness this here at this specific point once you've experienced all this other stuff, because it'll make it that more impactful, as opposed to, well, I'm going to experience this now and then I'm going to experience this part later, and then these two are not that connected because you saw them at different points at a time. So I don't think linear is dirty at all.
Yeah, I'm going to go with false. I'm to the point where I'm starting to hate open world games because, like you say, it's a box bullet. Non-linear. This game's non-linear. You know, it's like, well, what does that even mean? Just make the damn game. And it's like, I think the best example, I think a good hybrid is Batman Arkham Asylum, where it was kind of open, but it was also, you definitely had to go to point A to B, and you could go back. That was cool. I'm just sick of just, it's like, just give me a game. Let me play it. Let me go through it in a single player version, like Bulletstorm, right, is a good example of that. It's still tons of fun. Yeah, it's false. shouldn't be a dirty word.
I mean, Batman's almost like the Metroid model a little bit.
It is. It very much is.
You don't have as much reason to backtrack, like mechanically where you have ice beam, so it opens up this new area that you couldn't access before, but...
No, you kind of do. You've got like the spray, you know.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay. That, yeah, you're right.
And you know, those zip lines and stuff like that.
That's actually a great analogy. I think Batman is a lot like Metroid. I hope they don't lose that. That's getting aside, but for Arkham City, I hope they don't lose that. No.
So I can't remember if I'm supposed to say true or false, but... Is
linear a dirty word?
It is a dirty word, but it should not be, and it's certainly not for me, because the best games are linear, but you think they're not linear. And the best example of that, you know, Portal is probably the most linear game you could possibly have, in that you go to one space and another space and another space. And it's so linear that when it gets to that end scene, spoiler alert, and it comes around the corner, and you're being disposed of, heading towards the fire pit, I actually leaned back. I was like, oh, clever ending, fellas. Well played. and the guy sitting next to me was like, no, it can't end that way. Do something. And I was like, I hadn't even considered. I thought that was the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I could, wait a minute. And you concrete, and then you fire, and then that was one of the most magical. Look, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, yes, linear for the win.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way in that there are so many linear games that I have enjoyed. And going back all the way to, like, you know, Star Wars Rebel Assault. You know, corridor shooter. You know, it can't get any more linear than that. It's you know, on a rail. So no, it's not the most freeform gameplay, but it's still fun. I am a big fan of open world games. I love Fallout. I love just running around doing crazy stuff in Just Cause. I'm a huge fan of deformable terrain. So I do like to be able to, you know, kind of pave my own way. But if you're going to have any story of any kind, pretty much, and have it make any sense, there has to be some form of linearity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can make the argument that, oh, I don't like rail shooters, or I don't like games that you know, force me on a particular path. But it's a drastic overstatement to say that linear games are bad.
I'll say also that linear games are much more likely to get finished by me. Open world. I keep turning. I'm like, oh, that's shiny. Let's play that. And they're like, oh, look over here. There's a side quest.
So yeah, let's take a couple of listener questions, shall we?
Hello, PC Gamer Podcast team!
Well, I've been feeling the desire lately to play some of the old City Builder games, but I would ideally like something I haven't played before.
SimCity.
I was never a huge fan of SimCity, and I'm speaking more about the goal-based Sierra titles like Zeus, Pharaoh, and Caesar 3. I don't know if there have been any more releases of that type. At least there's nothing that I can think of. I haven't picked up Civilization V, but I have a feeling you'll recommend that. It's not exactly the same thing, but I mean, who should miss that game? But are there any other titles that come to your mind like those three examples? Racking my brain, can't think of anything. Many, many thanks. I appreciate the time.
We can answer that!
I actually don't think Civilization is what he's looking for.
No.
Civilization is turn-based.
What about Cities XL?
That would be, I mean, if he's not really into SimCity, I wouldn't necessarily even recommend that. But actually what I was going to suggest, and Evan, I know you played this a lot, was Dawn of Discovery.
I was
going
to bring that up.
Beat
you to it, sucker.
No, it's good, it's good. So I haven't played it extensively, but I was so charmed by it. It's less of a you know, unscripted building game. It's sort of more of a peace simulator, right?
Very much so.
It's you're trading, exchanging goods. There's a big naval emphasis, but the presentation is spot on. I mean,
incredible voice acting, amazing music, great graphics.
It rivals Civ, honestly. I hate to say that, Dan, but it's a beautiful game.
In terms of how it looks,
just presentation, just the quality of the menus and everything. Yeah,
the visors are really like, it really, it's this good balance of like not giving you too much information, but giving you enough to feel free to experiment. Where Civ 5, I mean, as much as I love that game, can be very heavy-handed in telling you what to do if you want it to be.
It definitely, you know, takes you by the hand for the early levels, or early turns, rather, and really guides you through the experience. And, you know, I can't really blame them for doing that, because if you get off to a wrong start in one of those games, it's like, why am I even playing this?
Yeah. So Dawn of Discovery, or I guess Settlers, was the same developer.
Right,
Settlers 7?
That was next on my list here, was Settlers 7, which was the subtitle in that one?
Something Kingdom. I don't know.
Path to a Kingdom.
Path to a Kingdom. Right. Yeah.
Which is, you know, more medieval approach to it, and kind of goofy, cartoonish presentation on that one, but also I guess it's very German, and so you're managing every like piece of wood that's harvested and all that stuff, so it's very very nitty gritty,
not like in SimCity. God, it's like the first PC game I ever played, man.
Dude, I remember getting it for the 286,
yeah.
And I could still hear the sound of crunching down a city block, you know?
Yeah.
Very specific. Yeah.
Yep.
And one more I would recommend keeping your eye out for, and you can check out the first two in the series, is Stronghold 3 is coming out this year.
Stronghold, that's right.
Which is, yes. It's not purely a city builder. It's also got RTS elements in there too. So you're building a castle and also defending it.
You could also maybe even throw in, I don't know, maybe this is too much with Total War series, like, cause it's definitely 50-50 as far as RTS versus building up, you know.
Right. But that's more of a civilization style, like civilization builder as opposed to city builder.
A minutia. And,
yeah. And I think, you know, since he mentioned Caesar, I'm thinking he wants, like, to see his little guys walking around the streets, going from job to job.
What about SimCity Societies?
Yeah, I mean that is the same type of game that he's talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
But that one was not quite so well received.
No.
Also, Civ City Rome. Speaking of games that were not so well received,
yeah.
We have given him ample options. We should take another question.
We should.
Hey guys, my name is Thad from Rockford, Illinois. I was just calling with a question and a comment. My question is, would you guys like to see a client, either through Windows or third parties, that combines all of the download services into one thing? So I only have to log into one thing to get Steam, Impulse, DirectDrive, et cetera, instead of logging into five different things. Mm-hmm. And second, my comment, you guys were talking a while back, do we want a gamer reward or award ceremony? I would say yes. And the perfect place to do it would be PAX. Already gamer focused, everybody from the industry is there. It'd be a great place to do it. Let me know what you guys think.
Would we like to see a unified client where you only have to log in once? Absolutely. Will we? Hell no. There's no way in hell that will happen. And it would be awesome, but that would require a bunch of companies that are in direct competition with one another and really want to lock you into their service to join forces, and that's just not going to happen.
We'll call it good old Steamgate Drive Impulse for Windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not going to happen unless they all merge and there's a monopoly, and we don't want that to happen either.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
So.
But yeah, PAX for a awards presentation, eh? There's really nothing like that there. It's just
panels
and Penny Arcade's Omegathon, which is like a gaming decathlon, basically, for 10 people that they invite to play different stuff. Over time,
I think this is probably discussed on a show I wasn't on. But
right.
with the awards ceremony, I mean, are we talking about something?
We're talking about an alternative to Spike TV's thing.
Yeah.
Right. So something televised, is that the idea?
Probably.
Yeah, because I mean, there's already like the E3 awards, which are done every year and have been done for God knows how many years.
I got to tell you, I don't see any way that you're going to put something on TV and not have it look like the Spike thing, because TV is a very broad demographic. And if you're not a hardcore gamer and you're on the outside, you have to go with your imaginary pictures of what a hardcore gamer looks like and what they're into. So
caricatures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just silly. However, I do think somebody outputting, you know, the internet distribution model is a place where you can get 25, 30,000 people tuning in live for an awards. And that's a massive success. If you can get 30,000 people live to stream, I don't know how many were watching the chess boxing, but very specific niche marketing like that could be huge.
Yeah. That's probably the right way to do it. Reminds me of, there was a big StarCraft tournament going on last weekend, streamed for free, 50,000 people simultaneously tuning in. Yeah.
That is huge.
So it makes sense for PC gamers, I think. And it would certainly, you know, when you're not on TV, it lowers your need to do stuff like, you know, get Taco Bell or Mountain Dew to sponsor you, or get like big, you know, random celebrities from movies to justify people's interest, I think.
Yeah.
When all those, it builds up because it's expensive to do all those things. So you need more advertisers. So you need to make the advertisers happier. So it becomes more important to have more people watch, which means you put more people in bikinis for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think an inherent problem with it is like we got an award show like the Oscars, where you're giving out awards to people who make, you know, their career is to look good on camera, on stage, and give performances. And those are entertaining to watch. Whereas, for game developers, their skill set is somewhat different.
Somewhat more reclusive.
Right. So that, yeah. Well, not, you know, and that's stereotypical as well. I mean, there are a lot of charismatic game developers.
Of course, yeah.
But as a whole, you're going to get more presentations like, or more acceptance speeches like the guys accepting awards for technical excellence in special effects. And that's like a big group of guys standing there. One of them's talking.
Yeah.
The rest of them are just standing there awkwardly in tuxes. And that's less exciting than watching
Doogie Howser.
For example.
So you probably wouldn't have John Carmack be the MC, is what you're saying. No offense to John Carmack.
He could stand up there and talk the whole time.
And he would talk about like the frequency of the microphones. Yeah. And
right. The pitch nozzle and the rockets and how that affects trajectory.
He's actually a very interesting guy to talk to. But
yeah.
But you have to be very technically minded.
Yeah, I mean, just reading your interview recently, Dan, that we put in our June issue.
Yeah.
I could like see just between the paragraphs, like, I don't want to like be presumptuous, but like the way his brain just like transitions and like moves from a set of ideas to another set of ideas is really interesting.
Right, you really have to interrupt him to ask another interview question.
Yeah, he's gonna, once he gets momentum,
the immovable force,
the juggernaut. Yeah.
All right, let's do another question.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast, Cliff out in Anaheim, California, also known as Deadshot on Steam, known as the founding member of the Chris Comiskey fan club.
Wow.
Anyway, hey guys, here's my question for today. What games have you guys played that were basically like one-hit wonders? Like, I'm looking for like a list of the titles that the game was just, they released, their initial release was utterly amazing, and then after that, everything else they've released was just been total crap, or they just faded away into nothing. Anyway, I'd love to hear your list of one-hit wonders. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks. I love you. That's awesome. Thanks, man. And hey, Deadshot. I know. Cool guy. Boy.
American McGee is the go-to guy for that.
Yeah.
He came out with Alice, and that was awesome, and then everything he's done since then was awful.
By the way, my brother worked on Alice. That was the first thing he worked on.
Well,
that was the secret sauce. From what I've seen of Alice 2, it looks like it could potentially snap that streak. So, fingers crossed.
I would put Troika in there, although...
They're not even really in existence anymore.
They had a few games under the belt before they went out. They did Arcanum, which was the first, which I loved. Great game. Then they did a few others. Then they did Vampire, which I guess got okay reviews. Vampire the Masquerade. I don't know.
Yeah, and that they went out of business shortly after Vampire came out. They weren't really able to patch it into fans patched it into what it should have
been. Yeah, into the complete. So maybe them. God, who else?
It's so hard to think of these. I mean, if stuff is successful, if it's good, it gets remade 90% of the time, right?
Well, and that's, in fact, I was kind of bummed. If you asked me a year ago, I would have mentioned You Don't Know Jack. It's like, how much did I love that back in the 90s?
Yeah.
And then it was like, it was a web game for a while, and they had like Acrophobia, and then they were trying to do an advertiser-supported model, and then it just fizzled out. But now I guess Jack's back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and it's good.
On the console, it's a little bit better than PC, because they kind of messed up the PC.
Two players sitting at a keyboard.
Yeah.
If I could give, this isn't really fair, but I would say for a personal one-hit wonder for me, like Call of Duty 1 was awesome, and I've hated the series pretty much ever since. That's just from a personal standpoint.
You didn't like 2?
No. Mm-mm. In Modern Warfare, I played, and it was all right. Just, I don't know.
I know this will be blasphemy, but I, capital L-O-V-E-D, the original Left 4 Dead, and when Left 4 Dead 2 came out, and they were saying, no, it's too much too soon, and I was like, no, man, I'm down for another release, and I sat down, and I played through the first level, And I think I just had too much. You know, like back in college, I, for a full year and a half, did nothing but play Warcraft 2 multiplayer. So when Starcraft came out, I played it at the beginning. I'm like, yes, this is in every way the perfect version of Warcraft 2, which is a game I played a lot. And then I never really got into it.
Totally.
I think I just had overexposure with that.
I know what you mean, yeah.
I don't know if we can call Valve any kind of one-hit wonder.
No, certainly I'm not saying that. But you brought up personal experience.
Yeah.
And certainly when you get overexposed to something... I just, I feel bad. I should go back and play now.
All right. Well, thank you for your questions, guys. And please send in more. We like them. All right. Brian, why don't you kick off our playlist? I know you've been eager to
I think a couple times ago when I was on, I was talking about how excited I was for Homefront and how I thought it would be the salvation of essentially, you know, I played Modern Warfare 2 and I hated it because it was a Michael Bay movie. It was, you know, all explosions. Nothing made sense. The story was idiotic and asinine with too many twists. And, hearing about the people working on Homefront, knowing that you had real writers and there was a really fascinating story to play, I thought that Homefront would be everything I wanted to get out of Modern Warfare 2. And I should disclaim that I'm only 2/3 of the way through Homefront right now. But if Modern Warfare 2 were game makers who didn't know how to tell a story, Homefront is storytellers who don't know how to make a game. and I don't mean that like in smack talk, but there's just so many things. The experience is not fun, and you, like, you just wake up, and I don't know who I am. I still don't know who I am. I'm 2/3 of the way through. I have no idea why I'm important, why I got scooped up in the resistance.
Yep.
And then there's so many moments where like, oh, I guess this is happening. And I'll say, there's a couple of buggy things, and I think they're designed failures. There's a moment you're on the top of the building and the characters say, you gotta get off there, you gotta vault off the building, jump now, jump now. So I run to the side of the building, I jump and I hit an invisible wall, right. And I jump again and hit an invisible wall. And then it says, press E to jump off the building. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? Really?
Wow.
Yeah. And the first time is like right after you do that, you have to run and catch a truck, and I missed the truck because I was trying to figure out how to jump off this.
Oh, there, yeah. And just before then, there's a moment where it said, it says attach device. And it's on the back of a truck. But the font is so weird, it says attack device on the back of the truck. So I'm shooting this truck, and they're like, what are you doing?
No, I think my biggest problem with it, and you know, it's a competent shooter. I'm playing it right after I played Crysis 2, and you know, it doesn't look as nice, but you know, I think the action is pretty much as good.
As Crysis 2? Daniel.
Wow.
Wow, that was a disapproving tone.
Not judging, always judging.
Yeah, okay.
I'll
back that off a little bit. It's not quite as interesting as an experience as Crysis 2, because you don't have the flexibility.
You can't turn invisible.
You can't, yeah. You don't have those extra options. So it is pretty much strictly a run and gun.
The walls turn invisible, though, apparently.
But
it's not as fun.
But you know, it is an enjoyable shooter. I'm not disliking it. What? But the thing that drives me nuts about it is all of the really scripted ally AI behavior, where like every door you come up to, they will line up on either side and breach it every time. And if you're in their way, they just kind of. They can't deal with it.
Yes, yes. Or it's like their case are like, catch up with us, get over here. And I walk and I stand on the right side and they just stand there like statues. And I walk on the left side and they stand there like statues. Then I turn around and do like three loops around and then they go like, so anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Right. But I will say though, in its defense, Brian, from your vicious attack.
I'm sorry. This is nothing but disappointment. I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, they do tell you who you are and why they want you in the resistance early on.
Well, I mean, I must have missed that.
They like who you are is not really important, but you are a helicopter pilot, and they need a helicopter pilot.
Okay, well,
that's a deep plot point right there.
Which then, you know, I was like, well, okay, so if you're this desperate to get a helicopter pilot, why do you immediately, when you get one, why do you immediately put him on the front line?
That's hilarious.
We need to go snipe, please.
Right. Now, I do want to say, because you've gotten far enough that you've dealt with the Goliath, again, minor spoiler alert here, I hated the Goliath. It's like, I could tell, like, they wanted me to be sentimental for this Deus Ex Machina that keeps showing up and rendering your battles irrelevant, but it was so frustrating.
Yeah.
It was like Dog's evil twin, you know?
I was going to say exactly. They wanted to be Dog from Half-Life, and there's those situations where it's like, well, here come the enemies that have EMP grenades. They're going to throw them at them and disable your vehicle, and then you have to shoot those guys. And until you do, it's just going to keep looping.
Right.
I mean, there's no failure condition, right?
It's as though at random intervals in this game, you would just go into God mode temporarily and blow everything up.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ride it.
Is that so much to ask?
Yeah.
But have you by any chance dabbled in the multiplayer?
No. Is the multiplayer a lot of fun?
Don't play Evan. So my first experience was walking up and Evan was playing it. I was like, this looks fun. And I was like, what do you do? He's like, yeah, you just lay down, basically. And he's like, yeah. So you ran to a cabin or something. I think you knelt in a corner and killed like 35 guys in a row. Like,
sounds about
no
right.
doubt. Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty, and then you moved to like the other corner of the cabin and killed like another 10.
Yeah,
there are a few moments where the game really does shine in the survivalist camp, which that's another thing. You just wake up and you're like, oh, so I guess we're in a survivalist camp suddenly, and you figure out after the fact where you are and what's going on. But the sniping mission in the survivalist camp to get the team from one side to the other was a lot of fun.
But, yeah.
All right. So
don't play against Evan. Sorry, I'm just saying. Yes.
Chris, what are you playing?
Yeah. I'm playing Let's Put Together a PC for last week, and that's been a tough game.
What you putting in there?
Well, I put a lot of stuff in there.
What you cooking up in that?
Yeah. So at first I had like an Asus Sabertooth motherboard, and that was cool, but I couldn't get it to work with this RAID setup I wanted. So the initial build of the PC was a Sabertooth motherboard, Asus. Is it Asus or... I should know this. I'm the freaking hardware guy.
I think it's Asus.
I call it Asus. Damn it.
I call it Asus.
Lowercase letters. Take that. Please keep sending us stuff. We enjoy it. So it's an NZXT Phantom case, Fire Engine Red. We used it for our hardware special. I have a GTX 580, which takes up three PCIe slots, which Dan has also experienced.
Yeah, it blocked off two of my SATA ports.
Yeah. So not a big fan of the video card. Probably will replace that as soon as I mean, it's a great card, but it's just like it takes up so much room. And I also have a Sound Blaster X5 HD sound card, which is great, but it's really hard to fit in there because it takes up so much damn room with the video card. A 1200 watt power supply.
Wow.
Yeah. And
now this motherboard is a Sandy Bridge?
It is. Well, it was. So what happened was I put it in there. I couldn't get it to work with a RAID setup.
Right.
So I swapped it out for a Maximus Formula 4 that just came in like the other day. And I was like, okay, this will work. Well, that one doesn't work either. So I don't know what's going on. It's frustrating. I called the customer support line. They're like, yeah, it must be your hard drive. It's like, it's not. They were already in RAID. So I don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to like trash the hard drives and just run off a single like 2 terabyte hard drive, I think, and just say the hell with the RAID. I'm just sick of it.
Well, I mean, like in this day and age, do you really need a RAID?
They're good.
I mean, yeah, they especially really, if you're, in fact, you could get the double by going RAID 0 with 2 solid state drives.
Yeah.
You can get insane throughput. That's what we're doing on the new studio PC. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really, like RAID is a big deal if you can get it going. Like my old machine was 2 512, like Western Digital Caviars, and they outperformed a single Raptor in RAID.
Wow.
So if you can get it going, it works. But it's just, I think my problem is, and if anyone knows, if there are any listeners who know and you're IT guys, great, because I could use the help. The 2 old drives used to be rated in 0. And I think the problem was, like when I was trying to get the motherboards to recognize, they're still seeing it as a single partition. Even after I break it up and delete the partitions and redo it, it's like it still saw those drives as rated. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to undo the damn RAID. So it might not even be the motherboard. So anyway, that's my conundrum. So tonight, I've got everything working. I just have to install Windows now, on my single hard drive.
You need to hold like a special right. You just say, computer, forget everything you know. Or you need that special like Men in Black, like
flashing
thing.
And it sucks when I just put in that motherboard and replaced it. And it's like, now I have to like pull off the stupid CPU cooler.
Yeah,
and
of everything to replace. The
motherboard
is such a bonus.
It's such a drag.
Yeah, so. I bought a Sandy Bridge right before the recall on my office PC.
Yeah.
And so they're all like, oh, you'll be fine. You know, most likely first 2 channels will work. And now it's like when I read sooner or later SATA 2 and on will fail. I was like, what does that mean? Does it mean the hard drives are going to be screwed? And what it means is only 2 weeks after I built that computer, full on, like it'll run. I could access my media drive for about 20 minutes and then not anymore until I reboot.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Oh, and the processor was a 2600K. So
yeah,
pretty decent.
Nice.
Yeah. So that, so as soon as I get this thing working,
are you doing liquid cooling or
no? Just doing like a Cooler Master 212 plus.
You gonna overclock?
Yeah.
How far?
Pretty far. I'm trying to take it to 4.2.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. And the motherboard, the Maximus Formula, just has this really easy like press to overclock to 4.2, and it
awesome.
Just does all the voltages and everything for you. So we'll see if it melts or not. But you know, it'd be a fun experiment. Yeah.
How about you, Anthony?
Oh, I've been dabbling in some Crysis too. I got a question for you, Evan. I haven't finished it yet, so don't give me any spoilers. But is there any connection between these two?
Between Crysis 1 and Crysis 2?
Yes.
Sorta.
Oh. Not listening. La, 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 la.
I haven't played it yet.
Only sorta.
It's pretty distant. Like, don't expect some sort of
big
payoff, I would say, but yeah.
Can you confirm or deny
that the guy with the thing shows up with that dealio?
The dealio is present.
Nomad and or Sykes?
Neither of them appear.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Or are mentioned in any way.
Yeah, and your character, I mean, I just wish your character would have talked. So I love that, you know, Psycho talked occasionally. And,
so did Prophet.
Yeah.
Well,
but he never played as Prophet.
Nomad.
Oh, wait, who am I thinking of? Yeah, Nomad talked too.
Nomad had a couple lines, yeah.
I hate it, Prophet. I'm glad he's not back.
But
he is kind of in.
Oh,
Whoa. What happened to that? All right.
Well, you're at the very beginning.
Damn it.
Literally, oh, the first five seconds. All right.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
The first right 5 seconds.
Is that stupid ice cube gun still? Look at this gun I got. I still got it. It shoots ice cubes.
So no. Dan, you finish it too. I mean, what do you guys think of the story overall? How far are you, Anthony?
I'm about 7 hours in. I've got to be near the end.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay.
The story, I would say, is a more ambitious attempt that ends up being just as big a mess as the first one.
Congratulations, question mark?
I mean, I've been playing it, and I was like, okay, all right, this is an interesting game. This is a fun game. When is this going to click with the first game? And I'm just like, okay, maybe now. Yeah. Maybe now.
No, sure, it's not going to.
But now I should be like, all right, just finish the game and not expect some
sort of
bridge.
Stop holding your breath.
Yeah.
So did you go into it like wanting to get more of the story connection?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked the story from the first one, even though it was kind of a little messy.
It was very straightforward. You know, aliens are bad. You should shoot them.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, first okay, statement. So the aliens were underground and now the volcano or the earthquake or volcano.
Seismic activity.
Yeah, so then they pop out of the ground and, oh no, there are aliens. We should probably do something about this.
Right.
Also, there's a virus.
And
or
also,
something.
Well, no, I'm talking the first one.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And
it's right at the beginning.
Yeah. Right. So
2 hours in.
Right. So in the first one, it's just, there's alien stuff here. Let's beat the Koreans to it.
Yeah.
Which is a cool concept. Right, like, you're in a foreign land. Yeah.
Right. That's not a great story, but it's not a bad story. This one has a bunch more stuff going on, a bunch of different factions competing for
a lot of people yelling at you over the radio.
Yeah, it's like
different people.
People are fighting each other in the midst of an alien invasion that threatens everybody, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's like everybody's goals seem like they line up. So why are you trying to kill each other?
It's evacuation, outbreak, a race, alien conquest. All this stuff mixed together and it gets kind of confusing.
If you take away the aliens, it sounds like Fear, the original Fear plot.
Kind of.
Where you've got like Armacam infighting.
A little bit.
Yeah. But I enjoy both games, but it's like when I started playing Crysis 2, I was like, these aren't the same aliens from Crysis 1.
Not really. They have been redesigned. It's like with Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2. Yeah. They redesigned the art style.
No more squids.
Well, they are squiddy, but they're in like different robot things and different colors.
They're bipedal.
And they don't use ice stuff anymore.
Is this any way of them being like, well, they've adapted to the atmosphere?
They just wanted more humanoid enemies, I think, that were more fun to fight, frankly.
So there's really no reason.
They got suits from the center of the Earth.
It's like it feels like they got a bunch of feedback. Oh, this is stuff people didn't like about the first one. Let's just change it and not bother to come up with any compelling explanation for why we changed it.
Okay.
And it's like going from Highlander 1 to Highlander 2.
Let's never talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, and except it wasn't as big a disaster as Highlander 2.
Yeah.
But
what about Terminator to Terminator 2?
Well, in that case, it tied very closely together.
Okay, all right, yeah.
That was a direct continuation of the story. Highlander 1 to Highlander 2
made no damn sense.
Like in the first one, there were the Highlanders were like these magical dudes that were born under a cloud or something like that. And then
no, but what the hell are you talking about?
Well, what was the Care Bears movie? Thought it was Highlander.
They were born under some sign or something.
They have inside them blood of kings.
Right. Yes,
but it was the circumstance of their birth.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Whereas in Highlander 2, they're aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Yeah,
that?
From the planet Zeist. Yeah.
Oh no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went down.
Thanks, studio edits. Right. Yeah, because actually, the original script for Highlander 2 was nothing like that.
I believe it.
Yeah, they butchered it.
So it seems like a different movie altogether.
I like the small trend of us talking about like 80s and 90s action movies.
We have finished the Blood of Kings.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yes. So.
That was good.
Yeah, we should probably wrap this one up and get back to business.
Yes.
But thank you, Brian, for joining us.
Dude, always a pleasure.
And everybody keep sending us questions, please. You can email them to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com in MP3 format, please. Keep them around a minute. Does anybody remember our phone number?
Yeah, it is 1-877-404-1337, extension 724.
Wow.
I can't remember phone numbers anymore.
Oh, it's just so easy, though.
It's 404 air, leets, and then PCG on your phone.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense, actually.
So, yeah, call us and leave us messages, please.
And in the meantime, check out PCGamer.com. You can see a bunch of the stories we talked about there in text form.
Come play on our two crisis servers. Just search for PC Gamer in the filter option. We have one in San Jose and one in Chicago.
We have also been popping on TF2 server every now and then.
Too. Brian was playing TF2 with us.
Well, I missed that.
I shouldn't have been playing because it was just the other night, and
you're flying out. Yeah,
I was flying out, and I had to get up at 4 a.m. and it's like midnight, and then I see they're live. I'm like, and I was like, I guess this is happening. So I played for about an hour. It was a blast.
You're a good man.
Damn. What class did you play?
I just did a heavy because I was so wide. Yes. Like that's all I could trust, and plus it's like it's helpful because I knew that I had enough friends on the servers that I would be have some doctor helping me out.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week.
Hire my brother, Jay.
Bye.